Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Steve and I are alone in the Cleveland studio today, which is not a bad thing, although we do appreciate when guests come on. Been a bit of a short week in terms of hearing from us, but we're glad to get back in front of you. Steven, how you doing?
Good.
So, there's a lot of shit that's flying under the radar with all the craziness going on. And one thing that is, I won't say it flew under the radar, but it has not gotten as much coverage as it probably deserves, is shortly after the election, Trump fired the defense secretary, Mark Esper. And that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, so this, as soon as I saw this, this popped up on my radar as problematic. Like, one, you've got roughly, 70 days or whatever left in your presidency. Why are you firing the Secretary of Defense now? There's no value in it. So, I mean, you can look at it one of two ways. One, it's just Trump being petty, because Mark Esper, as the Secretary of Defense, pushed back on Trump in terms of using military active duty troops, you know, like using the Army and not the National Guard to deal with, the various...
Unrest in the streets.
Unrest, yeah. Riots, disturbances, whatever you want to call it.
To march him down the street so he'll hold a Bible in front of a church.
Right.
Mark Esper standing next to him, by the way.
Right. Stop. But Mark Esper was just like, hey, I don't think we need to use the Army to go into these various situations. And we know that Trump holds grudges. So the question is Trump doing this just to be petty? Or is there a more sinister reason, right? Like, I mean, so we know that Trump said he wants to get the troops out of the Middle East. And we have about, 4,500 troops left in Afghanistan. The argument against those troops coming home is that if you just suddenly pull them out instantly, then in theory, it could destabilize the region. You're talking retaliation for anybody that worked with the United States while we were there, going after the various, groups that are, helping to stabilize that region, right? And so there's a group of people that say leave what you have there and you've done enough to, we've pulled most of them out. Let's leave a few. Obviously, Trump and his team want everyone gone, and they want to do it on their watch so that they can say they pulled everybody out. And so there's a back and forth about this. And so this could be Trump moving someone out of the way to allow for him to do what he wants to do so he can at least say, so he can add this to things that he can say that he did. If that's the case, that worries me, because if you've got people telling you that this is a bad idea, but you are more focused on your legacy, then this is par for the course for Trump. But there are people who are in the know that, I know it's really, really like the flavor of the decade is to not listen to people who know things or who we should be trusting. Like, we should trust generals with military strategy, and we should trust doctors with medical advice, and we should trust lawyers with legal advice. But now, because of fucking social media and Google, well, fuck them. They're all stupid. No one knows anything except for Donald Trump and me, right? So, there's this pushback that anyone who disagrees with Trump is basically the deep state, and the deep state can't be trusted. And so Trump is the only one that you could trust. And, the people who agree with you on Facebook. So, let's go with Trump and this idea. And that's scary. And I think there's other tentacles of this, whether intentional or unintentional, such as, China going in and fucking with Hong Kong, and other countries like Russia deciding that, hey, Ukraine and all these other places that we want to pull back under the USSR, we're going to start poking you, since the Pentagon has been destabilized because Trump literally cut the head off.
Yeah, that concerns me. And I forget the names of the guys that replaced, I forget who replaced Esper, but everything I've heard, and to be fair, I've heard this mostly on CNN, but it sounds like he's replacing everyone with complete loyalists, complete Trump loyalists, yeah, only his cronies.
So this is not from CNN. This is from, you know, I've got a few connections in DC and in other places, and the people that he have replaced. These, like, because Esper is the top of the food chain, right, of the people, but he's fired a number of people in positions at the Pentagon and, you know, in the defense world. And he is replacing them with people who were, you know, that he put up for other positions that they didn't get the necessary, you know, clearance from the Senate or whatever. And so it doesn't feel like it's not passing the smell test. What he's doing, because whether he's, no matter what he's doing it for, whether he's just firing people that he doesn't like because he's petty, or he's doing it because he wants to secure his legacy, or he's doing it for some other even more nefarious reasons that we're not going to, you know, dig into in the world of conspiracy, it's all, like, none of it's good, right? There's no reason for him to be doing this whatsoever. And the reasons why he's doing it, there's just, you can't come up with a good one.
Right, and if Mark Esper was an acceptable choice for Secretary of Defense on November 2nd, but wasn't on November 4th, you know, what changed? And if I'm speculating, I think it is a legacy thing. And I do not claim to know what the best move in Afghanistan is. To be fair to Trump, you know, there's a lot of people in the military who think war is always the answer, and maybe pulling out doesn't destabilize everything. Your other point, though, that people who were supportive of U.S. efforts in Afghanistan rely on that protection, and pulling away from that is scary to me for multiple reasons. One of them is we've done it so many times in our history where we go in, we do our thing, and then people trust us, for lack of a better word. And then when they're no longer valuable, we're like, well, that was fun. Goodbye now. And they're like, hey, we pissed off a lot of folks because we, you know, worked with you. And now you're just leaving us high and dry. Right. And by the way, we don't get, you know, we don't have constitutional rights here. We're in the middle of nowhere. And if someone just has the power to come in and kill us, they can't. And right. We can't do shit. I mean,
and one of the big concerns are women. Right, Afghani women don't have many, if any, rights there. Yeah. And one of the advancements of, you know, the last few years are, you know, the protection of women, women's rights, and various, you know, some of the other groups there, you know, religious freedoms and things like that. And so, with our troops gone, if we just pull out right now, you know, is there a risk or a threat to women, to people of other religions that are there? Like, sure. I mean, does it immediately turn into a slaughterhouse? And I don't know. And I mean, I think there's an argument to say no, because if you look at, you know, with Biden being there, if things start to get loose really quickly, then I don't think Biden would hesitate to send someone back or send troops back. I don't think.
I agree, but it could be 70 days or whatever.
Right. You know, and
he
it doesn't,
has no power to do that.
Right. I mean, and it doesn't take long for a massacre to happen, right?
Right. So, no, it does not.
You know, it's great if we send troops after the fact, but it does nothing for the people that are already dead if that does happen. So, you know, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. I mean, you know, also Hong Kong and China, you know, China sees that, you know, we're not stable as we go through this transition. You know, we don't have someone at the Pentagon, so they're starting to, you know, pick another fight with Hong Kong. And that's ongoing. It's been something that, you know, China has been open about, that they feel that Hong Kong needs to be under their rule. And so, I mean, the timing of this is not good at all.
Right.
And obviously they're taking advantage of you know, our instability right now.
You know, China, Hong Kong is a funny thing to me because my grad school advisor, who I could not stand, was from Hong Kong. So I used to hear shit about Hong Kong all the time. And this is prior to Hong Kong becoming independent. And to me, the only savior in the Hong Kong-China thing is going to be Great Britain, which I'm frankly not a fan of when they get involved with shit in foreign countries, because a lot of things that are wrong in the world, thank you, England, you fucked it up and we helped. But Hong Kong is economically a huge deal. I mean, it's a tiny piece of land with a whole lot of economic impact. And China has been expanding its power. And now they're like, we want our old toy back for...
Yep.
I'm sure there's a better way of saying it, but I didn't. But, you know, while the whole world is looking at, will Donald Trump come out and talk today? Will, you know, the master showman who's throwing his temper tantrum or locking himself in the White House, while all that's going on, big economic impact and big human impact is going on in Hong Kong, or could go on in Hong Kong, and we as a country aren't paying any attention to it because we're watching the keys jingling in.
Well, I guess the question is, you know, you brought Great Britain into it. They could, in theory, step in. I don't know if they will. And I think we have enough eyes on the ground where if something needs to happen, it can. I don't really know. Like, I don't think I have a good, clear picture of what, even before the election, you know, Trump's policy with Hong Kong was kind of standoffish because of, you know, him trying to get a China trade deal. You know, I mean, he kind of threw out there, yeah, we think that everyone should be free, but, you know, we also think that China is handling this really well. So that being said, hey, this whole trade war that we're winning, everybody. Hey, China, can you come back to the table? You know, like that was the position. So I don't know what our position is right now. I feel like we've got people watching. I just don't know. And I also don't think China's going to do anything too over the top to where we'll need to actually jump in. You know, and I think whatever happens over the next 70 days with China and Hong Kong, Afghanistan, completely different, right? I think China has a little, like, I mean, now, could things escalate to protests in the street, march,
I think,
you know,
that's
police, right? Like, that could and will and is happening. We need to keep an eye on it, but I think that will stay at bay to a degree. I don't think they'll go full assault on their people. Like, they're going to be little outbursts. But it's not nearly the same as what I'm worried about happening in Afghanistan, right? In Afghanistan, you pull the troops off the ground, you could see a slaughter happen. Like, I mean,
the next day, yeah.
You know, I mean, you may still see the vapor trail from the last plane leaving, as things start to go bad there. So I think you've got a little bit more time with Hong Kong, and China, but it's still something that we have to pay attention to.
It's kind of apples and oranges too, because we have troops on the ground in Afghanistan. Obviously, we don't have any military presence in Hong Kong.
Right.
And if we ever have to have one, things have gone sideways in a very dramatic way.
Way big problems. Way big problems.
But so yeah.
I mean, it's just all stuff that I think everybody has to watch, and it's important that we pay attention. Like, this is where social media is important. As toxic and as dangerous as social media is, the thing about it is this is how, like, you know, something really bad happens in Hong Kong, right? And like you said, we don't have a military presence there. We don't, you know, if something bad happens there, social media is a way that the word can spread, right? Like, now there's a lot of hoops that have to be jumped through to verify shit. I mean, like, people put things on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram that are fake and bullshit all the time, so things need to be vetted. But listen, it things move a lot faster now than they did 20 years ago. Shit, they move faster than they did 10 years ago. So we can get that information, and if need be, something can happen a lot faster than, you know, like we said, in years past. So
Drew, although social media's gotten weirder recently, because I've been outspoken about how much I love Facebook. I'm a huge fan of Mark Zuckerberg, love Facebook. But, you know, Trump has been putting a bunch of stuff on Twitter, some jumping platforms, and it's been getting shut down as false, which, as a dangerous game, I'm all for getting bullshit out of the discussion. But, sorry, I'm kind of jumping topics here. But when social media starts censoring itself and preventing shit that it doesn't want out there from getting out there, it's a delicate balance.
It's not a delicate balance to private companies.
Okay.
The stuff that you're talking about, if you want to control that or you don't like that, then we need to pass legislation that basically makes these public utilities that allows for some sort of government control. You don't have it right now, so until
And I'm not sure I want it.
And so if you want that, that's fine. Understand what that means, though, is the government can step in, and then the government can control what you say. No,
that's a bigger problem.
And if like, I mean, so everybody's so worried about, you know, oh, these they can't control what I say. That's fine. But if you want that level of government regulation, as soon as you allow the government to step in, right, that's allowing the government to step in, and they can they're going to have some control over that type of discourse.
Yeah.
And if you're fine with that, okay.
And I said I'm not.
And if you're not, then okay, it's not delicate, right? Like, they're private companies, they're private entities, and what frustrates me, right? Like, so Jack, what's his name from Twitter, goes up there, and Ted Cruz is lambasting him, right? Okay. He's just all over him, right? And this is about when the New York Post article came out about Trump had said, or there was a New York Post article, and it was about Biden. Right. Okay. And so
about Hunter Biden.
And so Twitter shuts it down. Right.
Yep.
And then Jack comes back, and then Twitter shuts it down initially. Then they backtrack. Then they then they repost it. And then so then Republicans in Congress are like, oh, we need to see the social media people here and blah, blah, blah. So Senator Cruz comes out, Ted Cruz, fat Dracula, whatever you want to call him, is lambasting the guy from Twitter, and he's just like, so, you know, like, you prevented, you know, millions of people from seeing this article, and he's like, well, no, it's the New York Post. They published the article. We just didn't want it on our platform. So you're censoring them, right? Like, I mean, he's going all over, and my response to him would have been, yeah, I did. It's my platform. It's a private thing. They sign up, and they agree to use a certain terms of service, and they violated it, so I shut it down. And the fact that we put it back up was a mistake. It's my platform. I do what I want. And if you don't like that, then you need to change the government rules. They are what they are right now. That's what you tell them. And that does one of two things. That forces the government, Congress, or whatever, to either make a move or shut the fuck up, right? Dear Ted Cruz, shut the fuck up, right? Like, I'm just fucking tired of it, right? Like, so it's really and I'm saying, move, shit or get off the pot. Right, like, if you want them regulated, then fucking regulate them. With this whole song and dance where you pull them in front of Congress and you go on this long sort of diatribe rant about how bad they are, and then you don't do shit about it, like, you're not doing anything, right? Like, it's all just for show.
You know, I have a friend who, actually, it's someone we both know, a guy that hangs out at a bar that we've both been to, and on Facebook, it's a Canadian guy who. A mutual friend of ours said, damn Canadians, and got put in Facebook jail for a day for saying, damn Canadians. Because it violated their terms of service because it was hate speech. I was sitting next to him at the bar. I heard him telling his Facebook jail story. And I put on Facebook, damn bartenders, and tagged the bartender sitting there to see if that would get me thrown in Facebook jail. It did not. So...
yes, these different platforms have their rules, and guess what? Sometimes they're fair, sometimes they're not.
Right.
But they're private companies.
Agreed.
They're private companies and private entities, and if you don't like the way that they operate, get the fuck off their platform. It is that simple.
I agree. And another friend of mine used to post stuff about gun sales on Facebook. And he would get shut down all the time. And he would go on First Amendment rants. And I'm like, Dave, it's not a First Amendment thing.
It's not.
And Facebook is, yeah, they're covering their ass because they don't want you to sell a gun that ends up in a mass shooting. And Facebook to get blamed the way Walmart got blamed by Michael Moore over...
Walmart and Dick's and everybody else, right? Yeah. Like, somebody buys a gun, then it's everyone's fault except for the fucking person who shot people with it, right?
So, yeah, no, it's funny that I'm calling it delicate and you're saying it's... black and white, clear as day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the ability to communicate the way social media allows us to, but I also hate how easy it is to spread nonsense.
Right. It's a gift and a curse. I've been saying this for years. It is a gift and a curse. It is beautiful that everybody has a voice. It is also fucking awful that everybody has a voice. But I think I can't sit here and tell you that I believe in, you know, a capitalistic society, that I believe in a free society, and then turn around and say, but Facebook shouldn't, as a private company, Facebook shouldn't be able to do this, and Twitter shouldn't be able to do that, and they shouldn't be, right? Like, they're private fucking companies. Like, if I own a company, I don't want you coming in and telling me what I can and cannot do within reason.
Sure.
Right? Within reason, and a platform, like, that's what these platforms are. They're private businesses. And so for everyone advocating for these companies to be more heavily regulated, you know, just think about what you're asking for. Think about what you're saying. And now a lot of people, right, who don't like Twitter, who don't like Facebook, are going to Parler, right? Now, you can make fun of that, and to a degree, I do, right? Because these same people who bitch about people who only want to hear one thing are all going to Parler for the same reason, right? You're all going because you only want to hear the conservative point of view. You only want to hear support for Trump. You only want to hear that the Second Amendment is great. You only want to hear about, you know, kissing the ass of police. You only want to hear about kissing the ass of the military. You only want to hear about, you know, all, you know, like, that's all you want to hear about. That's fine. Do it.
Sure.
You know, I mean, if you think it's going to hurt Facebook, you think, I don't care why you're doing it, do it. It's your right. Parler's a private company, and guess what? At some point, they're going to do something you don't like, right? I mean, and so, but it's fine because it's a private entity.
Sure. Do you remember Conservapedia?
Yeah.
So Wikipedia comes out. I love Wikipedia because it's people, but anyway, Wikipedia comes out, and it made it easy to fact check. Now, Wikipedia is not without its flaws. It can be edited by people, and things can not necessarily get fully vetted. But it's, in my opinion, generally a good resource. Well, a lot of conservatives, Rush Limbaugh was at the front of it, said, you know, Wikipedia is making it too easy for people to call me on my bullshit. And they created Conservapedia. And Conservapedia was basically like, okay, if you're conservative and you want to hear what you want to hear, come here. It was ridiculous. Like, if you typed in Barack Obama on Wikipedia, you would get Barack Obama was the 44th president of the United States, and he was born in Hawaii, and blah, blah, blah. If you go to Conservapedia and type in Barack Obama, it's Barack Obama is a socialist who's really a communist who wants to enforce Sharia law on you. And that shit was just there. And that's what Parler strikes me as. Like,
well, that's what, yeah, that's exactly, I mean, it's just it's an advanced version of that. You know, and every conservative talking head is going there and bringing all their friends. I do know that some of these conservative talking heads have invested money in it. So there's a little, right? And I figured that out earlier this week. There's a couple, Dan Bognino or
Bazarian or whatever?
No.
Okay.
Way off. Jesus Christ.
Well, I don't know.
Dan, he's a Fox News commentator. Okay. I think he was a former
billionaire guy.
I think he was a former cop or FBI agent or something like that. But this guy you're thinking of, no, definitely not the same person. But dude deals in weed and hot models all the time.
Yes.
His life is ridiculous. It's also very fake. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, and that's what Parler is, right? I mean, it's just, it's a different platform. And listen, I'm all for it. We're on Parler. Whiskey Congress.
Are we?
I put us on Parler. And it's just, I mean, it's just way to see what people are saying.
I will now download the app so I can follow us.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's not as smooth as Twitter or Facebook, right? I mean, because they, you know, they, obviously there's some proprietary things that they needed to avoid. So it's a little clunky, and it's a little bit harder to follow the conversations. It's 1,000 times better than Reddit, I will say. Like, Reddit is just like, I hate that,
that's setting a bar pretty low, but
yeah, I mean, I don't like the way, like, literally the platform Reddit, like, I just don't like even if it's a topic that I want to dig into, I just don't like it, so I don't do anything with it. But you know, this is better than that. But I mean, I'm sure you're getting the same sort of shit on Parler that you do get on a Reddit, so whatever. But I mean, look, again, it's a private thing. If that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. That's fine.
If you want to create an echo chamber, go ahead and do it.
Right. I mean, and at this point, you can't stop anyone from doing it. Now, here's the deal. If they want to make Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and they want to put all that shit under the umbrella of the government, with you know, oversight by, you know, some new agency that they create, that's fine. But guess what has to go under that oversight, right? That what has to go under that umbrella? Parler,
Sure.
Right? Like, so now all of a sudden, now I guarantee you, if that happens where they say, okay, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever else is out there, YouTube, I guess maybe, you guys are all under this, oh, Parler, you too. And then they start to go in there, and the government starts slicing through and saying, like, this is racist, this is anti-Semitic, this is whatever. Then their panties are all going to be in a bunch, private entity, blah, 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 blah. So just be careful what you wish for with that sort of thing.
Sure. So one other thing that I think has gone under the radar, because I didn't know it until you brought it to my attention, is Justice Alito is talking about...
Well, it just literally just happened last night.
So. Okay, well, thank you. She was bad. But, so, let me throw it into your court.
Yeah, so Supreme Court Justice Sam Alito gave a speech, and it was controversial, right? So he starts off saying, essentially, that religious freedoms are under attack. And he didn't agree with... But he's basically saying he doesn't agree with gay marriage, just all of a sudden being willy-nilly allowed. And he, you know, strongly disagreed with, you know, the court case that said that the bakery had to bake the cake for the same-sex marriage, right? And, you know, it's basically saying that it's turning, you know, that it's turning people who, you know, have strong religious beliefs, it's, you know, basically turning them into a you know, minority that should be protected under the law, and... that, you know, by saying someone doesn't believe in this, in same-sex marriage, by calling them a bigot, it's an attack on that person's freedom. And he went on that sort of a rant. And I think, it's disappointing. You're a Supreme Court justice, right? And so what you're saying is that you're okay with denying two gay people that love each other the right to marry, because it makes someone of a different religion feel better about themselves, right? And so somehow I'm hurting the person, right? Like, two gay people being married, if you don't like, I mean, Wanda Sykes said it, if you don't like gay marriage, then don't marry the person of the same sex, right?
Or don't go to the wedding.
Don't go to the wedding, and if you're a dude that doesn't like gay marriage, then you, dude, don't marry another dude, right? And guess what? Gay marriage doesn't hurt you. You know, and that's the most frustrating thing about this is that, like, listen, you know, seeing two, like, how does this, as a person of, as a Catholic person, a Catholic person of faith, or whatever your religion is,
right?
Like, okay, you don't agree with it, but how does it actually hurt you, right? Like, how does those two people being married, how does that hurt you? It doesn't change your marriage,
right?
It takes nothing from your marriage or your ability to do anything.
They will say it does.
They do say that it does, but they can't, say how. They can't say how.
That's driven me nuts for years. In fact, when New York legalized gay marriage long before it became a Supreme Court decision, and I grew up Catholic, and I have a lot of very conservative Catholic family members, and they were devastated by this. And so I waited a year after that got legalized in New York, and I said to some of my, especially my younger cousins, hey, is your life okay? Oh, things are great. I said, well, gay marriage has been legal for a year. How's your life changed? Well, it hasn't. Like, exactly. So next time you hear your grandfather, who's a racist, I love my uncle, but he's racist as fuck, and he's that classic old guy, you know, probably wearing his MAGA hat and listening to OAN and Fox News and, you know, bitching about how dead people have been voting all over the country and all that nonsense. And they grew up listening to him. They bought into his bullshit. And so I just tried to provide a real life example of, you heard this was going to be awful and everything was coming unglued. And guess what? It fucking didn't. So quit crying wolf and grow the fuck up.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, right? And because people will argue that their religion requires them to push back against what they see as a sin, right? They're obligated by the Bible, by the rule of, you know, by the law handed down by God, that if they see someone committing a sin, it's their job to try to bring that person along and convert them and change them and bring the word of Christ to them. And if they don't, then they can, they should be able to openly, you know, shun them in any and all acceptable ways, right? Like, that's the argument. It's just like, all right, well, cool. That's your argument. It's a shitty one. And so if you don't want someone restricting your ability based off of what they believe, right? Like, I mean, you don't want an atheist or a Satanist coming in and saying, you know what? You need to have multiple wives, right? Like you need to have multiple husbands, and you need to, you know, you need to participate in orgies every weekend, right? Like you don't want that, right? I mean, because that's a person with a different religious view right. than yours coming in and saying that since you're not doing what they think you should be doing, that they should be able to impose their will on you, and therefore if you don't do what they say, then they should be able to shun you, a la fire you from your job or not hire you because they believe, you know, you are what you are, or, you know, not provide certain services because they believe you are what you are, right? Like, I'm not going to deny you a job. Like, no one's getting denied a job because they're Catholic. No right. one's getting fired from a job because they're Catholic or Baptist or whatever, right? But then they're turning around and saying, well, I shouldn't have to work next to these gay people. I shouldn't have to
right.
hire this person who's married to another person that's the same sex. Like, it's fucking crazy. And so that's a frustrating thing to hear from a Supreme Court justice, but it's you know what we're dealing with, and that's scary to hear. The other part of his speech that I actually do agree with to a degree, he said that COVID and this pandemic has been a constitutional stress test, and I think that's a great way to put it because he's not wrong. You know, here in Ohio, Governor DeWine came out this week and said, look, we got a lot of cases. We've got more cases than we've had. Now, part of that is that you've got more testing than you've ever had.
Sure.
But hospitalizations are on the rise. ICUs are on the rise. Deaths are on the rise. Like, all the numbers are going up. Not good. And, you know, he's just like, look, if not, I'm going to be forced to close gyms and restaurants and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, right? In Ohio, we've actually already had a case that has gone up to the Supreme Court that said, look, governor doesn't have the authority to close any particular business, right? And so the governor coming out and saying that is getting people riled up, and I believe it's a good legal argument, right? And I can see both sides of it. As frustrating as people want to be, as frustrated as people get with the idea of being able to see both sides and like, you need to draw a line in the sand and you need to stick to it. Fuck your line in the sand. I'm kicking it all over the place. I'm literally straddling it, and you aren't strong enough to move me. The issue is, legally, constitutionally, I don't believe the governor has the authority to do what he's doing. He doesn't. But at the same time, there's a little wiggle room for greater good and looking out for what's best for the constituents in the state, right? And so what he's saying is, listen, this is an emergency situation. In order to protect the weakest and those that are most at risk, I have to do something that's going to harm a greater number of people, right? And it's a decision that I wouldn't want, right? The responsibility, the livelihood, and the safety of an entire state, right? But that's sure. the position that he's in as governor, and it's a hard
that's decision a dangerous, yeah.
to make. So the question is, what does he do? What do you do, Hotshot? I watched Speed last week, y'all. And I love that movie, as fucking bad and cheesy as it is.
Your
and
love for Keanu Reeves is unnatural and might require some kind of intervention.
But he's just made so many amazing movies, from Speed to the first Matrix and the second one to a degree.
We'll give a pass
John
on the third.
Wick. anyway.
You're
so,
a Keanu Reeves nut. Okay, moving
right.
on.
But yeah, so I believe Justice Alito is right here. Right. Like I think he's correct. Like, it has put us in a really difficult situation, and we have to look at it. Now, everyone is, you know, everyone who is super, you know, COVID conscious is screaming at me right now. Right. Like, shut everything down. Fuck money. Fuck all those things. We have to do it for the good of our safety. Everyone locked themselves. OK, that's fine. But the reality is, man, like this that's thing. Like, that's a dangerous thing to do, because once you go down that road of this, there's something out there that could be dangerous to everyone. So we're taking away your ability to do this. We're taking away people's lives and all that other stuff. You're encroaching on people's freedoms.
And the number of times that this has popped up in history is terrifying, because what you just said, if I were to talk about the Reichstag's fire decree. I know you know what it is, but a lot of people don't. And it was basically what gave the Nazis the ability to just round people up on the streets for the term they used, I don't think it was for the greater good, but basically in the interest of national security. So they slapped that word on there, that phrase on there, and then, well, we're not taking away any of your freedoms unless, in the interest of national security, we need to do this. And that's what gave them the, obviously going back to Germany in 1940, whatever, or 30, whatever, but the legal right to just grab someone off the street and say, we need to know this about you. This is basically, that's why I was so against stop and frisk, because it was the government saying, we know that you have rights and we respect your rights and we're not taking them away, unless, right. And when unless becomes a thing, that becomes such a easily blurred line where unless you and I are sitting here saying stuff about a Supreme Court justice and they're going to say, well, in the interest of the greater good or in the interest of national security, Steve and Jim can't talk anymore, or worse yet, Steve and Jim are going to jail,
right.
Because, and I know I'm talking slippery slopes here, and I know I'm making it's
just where we are, right? And there needs to be a legitimate fear, and people want to say, well, health and safety and this is dangerous. Like, yeah, it is, but the reality is that we like, so what are you willing to give up?
Right.
What are you willing to give up for this virus that, you know, is that 99.5% of people recover from? What are you willing to give up for that, right? I get that it's dangerous. I get that it poses a risk to a lot of different people, whether you're healthy, whether you're young, old, black, white, depends on your blood type. Like, there's so many different things, and we don't know what this thing is. But the reality is we're not going to eradicate it. This isn't like polio. This isn't like malaria. We're not going to just get rid of it. You've got a vaccine
hopefully the vaccine's effective.
You've got a vaccine that's 90% effective, but 90% effective for how long?
Well, we don't know the answer to those things yet.
We don't know the answer to those things yet. There's a lot of things we don't know. I mean, like, so I get it. Like, so we hold out for a little bit longer. We get this vaccine and we see where it goes. But if not, then, and here's the other issue. Like, China is fucking up all the time, whether it's intentional or by accident. This is not the first time that we've got some shit from them. We've also gotten shit from Mexico. We've also released shit. Right? Like, right. So... You know, we didn't do it with SARS before. We didn't do it with Ebola. We didn't so the question becomes, is this the new thing? Right? So something happens in China. You know, you got a pig and a bat and a fucking man-bear pig and a pangolin all fucking somewhere in some open market. And then some weird virus manifests and mutates. Are we going to do this again? Right? You know, what are the standards?
So here's, I actually have the answer. But it's a pipe dream. The answer is for society to be responsible and use common sense. And when we hear...
Did you say condom sense?
Common sense.
Okay.
What?
I don't know.
All right.
40 and slip.
You heard... Or maybe... Yeah, it's been a long time. anyway. But if we would work together...
These condoms are so dry. How old are they? Anyway.
Thank you, Captain Derailier. But seriously, there's so many things... I point back to getting rid of CFCs, chlorofluorocarbons, and lead in gasoline in my lifetime. The government, the science realized, hey, these things are bad for people in general. The government stepped in and said, okay, we are mandating control and removal of these things. And we, as a society, went, yeah, makes sense, good, whatever. We'll buy unleaded gas. Yeah, it costs 20 cents a gallon more, but we'll deal with it. Now, you tell people, put a piece of cloth over your mouth while you're walking around in public or in a public place because it'll make everything better. And people say, that's tyranny! If that's your fucking definition of tyranny.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, but I think that, yes, you have those idiots who are screaming about wearing masks. Like, I got into it with a guy from my gym. He posted something on Facebook where someone is getting arrested very aggressively by police because they refuse to wear a mask. And I said, listen, the issue is, there's a couple issues here, right? You can go and you can see, I think it actually happened in Ohio. You can YouTube it. Person refused to wear a mask. Police come in, say, you know, like, you got to put the mask on. Person refuses. So the police get over-aggressive, escalate the situation, tackle the person, drag them out of the thing over a mask. Now, Listen, on the one hand, if you're a progressive liberal, you're just like, look, motherfucker, we've been telling you that the police have too much authority to take control over people and beat the shit out of them over these minor offenses. We've been saying it in the hood forever, and now you're dealing with it, and now you want to bitch about it. Well, just comply, right? Like, just comply, and you don't get your ass beat by the police, and you don't get your ass dragged out of mom and pop's bakery, right? But since you don't want to comply, and you want to be a badass, then, you know, here's getting kicked in the teeth. Nobody wants to hear about your constitutional rights. But I do, because I'm nice, right? Mm-hmm. I'm nice, and I want everybody to not get kicked in the teeth by the police. So while there's a little bit of a, ha-ha, I told you so, there is the fact that, listen, this is what we're dealing with from a legal standpoint. Right? From a legal standpoint, it's not the state saying that you have to wear a mask. What the state is saying is that you can't trespass. Right? So if a business says you need to wear a mask to be in here, and if you don't, we don't want you in here, and they call the police because you don't wear a mask, you're trespassing. You're violating the law. Right? Now, so because of that, the police get called, and the police only know one thing. Right? Oh, you're trespassing. We're not going to give you an opportunity to comply. We're actually just going to go ahead and remove you.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's that whole thing, and it's just like, you're cool with it, right? You're cool with it in certain instances, right? But now, all of a sudden, this is a big deal. The police have gone too far. This is the Gestapo.
Welcome to Black America. Is that where you're going?
We don't have to get specific. I'm not petty. But, I mean, it's just like, someone told you, people have been telling you about this. But your punk ass didn't want to listen. You know, it was all Blue Lives Matter and you got your Punisher flag. Well, it's a whole other thing when you see that Punisher fist coming to your face and dragging you out of your fucking milkshake shop on a fucking Tuesday. Well,
you know what?
Over a fucking piece of cloth mask. Now, here's the thing. The issue in that situation, like, that's just like you the easiest way to deal with that is just fucking comply, right?
You hear yourself, right?
Right. I mean, I hear it. I mean, the easiest situation...
And by the way, I agree with you.
But. And I've said in all situations, like, listen, you comply, you live to fight another day, and we will work on, you know, how the police treat people on the back end, right? I've always said that in every one of these situations.
Because you're a lawyer.
Like, listen... I realize it's frustrating, but you shouldn't really yell at the police, and you shouldn't swing at them, and you shouldn't do this, because, well, this is what happens, and now people
The short term does not work out well for you.
Right, it doesn't, and there ends up being a fucking candlelight vigil in this spot. So, that being said, I think we have to look at what we're doing in terms of shutting the businesses down, right? Like, I think that is more critical. Like, I'm not as much worried about, like, if just put a fucking mask on, and you won't get your ass beat by the police, but... In terms of the state's ability and authority to shut businesses down over this, I don't feel comfortable with it. I don't like it, right? And I get that flies in the face of, oh, but we have to do everything to save everybody from COVID. I don't know if that's the fucking government's responsibility, to tell you the truth. And I don't know if we should allow them to take that responsibility, because once they do, I'm gonna use the word slippery slope, and if you don't like it, fuck off, because that's where we're going, right? It's a term for a reason. Whether we like it or not, it's cliche, whatever, that's the truth. It is dangerous, the road we're going on, and I agree with Justice Alito on that point. I don't agree with him on the religious freedoms are under attack. But, you know, two things could be true at once. And right now, I think he's right. I think we have to look at it. I think the governors are towing a fine line. And I think DeWine knows that. I think our governor knows that, which is why he comes on TV with his very hyperactive translating sign language lady.
Which is his cousin or something.
Yeah, something like that, whatever. Weird. It's a great, interesting story. But I think that's why he's slow playing this and saying, please wear a mask. Please do this. Please adhere to this. Please, I don't want to. And he knows... what he's facing. When he does, sure, businesses may initially come down, but the legal challenges are going to happen, and chances are some of these are going to be successful, right? Legally, they're going to be successful. While I do think he has some authority to do the best thing in the interest of public safety, I think we're testing the bounds of what that is and what that means, and I don't think it works out well for the state. At least I actually hope it doesn't. Right? Because I just don't know if we want our governors to have that amount of control, because what's to stop them from doing it for things that,
right,
you know, other things?
I mean, It's such a complicated thing because there's.
So, I mean, because if you're going to do it over COVID, why not do it up? You know what? Too much gun violence going on. We're going to shut everything down until gun violence calms down. Right? And then we're going to go into certain places. We're going to do this and we're going to do that because of, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
There's too much obesity. We're going to shut down fast food restaurants.
Too many fat motherfuckers. Got to shut them down. Shut them down. And is that going to happen? No. Are these extremes? No. But you really don't want to find out. Right? Like, we've seen just too many instances of humans being shitty when they have power. To think that it's a good idea to continue to go down this road to see how far it goes before we really, really, before we, you know, really are in a place where we can't come back from.
Yeah. No, it's a genuine, I hate the slippery slope argument most of the time, but you're right. That term exists for a reason. And what I hate hearing is, you know, if, you know, I can't have a 30-round magazine. The next thing you know, you're going to take away my slingshot. I'm like, okay, time out. You're jumping way too far. But these are freedoms.
Listen, you know my stance on the Second Amendment.
I do.
Leave it the fuck alone. Y'all, this is me pointing at you and y'all and white people.
Okay,
right? But, y'all got a bad history of deciding that gun control is important, right? And then turning around and it's like all of a sudden black people are the problem, right? So, fuck y'all. Leave the Second Amendment alone because what happens is it's going to get unevenly, unfairly enforced on us, right? And on people who look like me. So, I'm good with the Second Amendment staying right the fuck where it is. In terms of a 30-round magazine, you're goddamn right I need a 30-round magazine. I am not a trained sniper. My aim isn't that good. And if you're telling me I have problems because I need that many bullets, and you're goddamn right I have problems, so give me the fucking bullets. Right? I don't know what the fuck is going on. I don't know who's coming through the door. I don't know who's coming after me. Right? According to the progressive left, there's going to be truckloads of white nationalist hillbilly Klan members coming after me and my family, and I need as many fucking bullets as I can handle, so I will pass on your limitations of my ammunition. You can get fucked right off.
Is that the end of your point?
That is the end of my point. So,
okay. All right, well, fine.
Leave the Second Amendment alone. And the reason why, especially, is because of everything we're dealing with right now. Right? You're saying religious freedoms. You're saying constitutional stress tests. And what I'm saying is that this shit is all bubbling. Bubbling.
Bubbling.
Bubbling.
Well, and so my response to what you just said is, I understand what you're saying. I've always argued that 30-round magazines are something that neither you or I could utilize effectively. But I will also admit, this is the time. So I'm a weirdo.
But why?
Why is it dangerous? Because in mass shooting situations, 30-round magazines kill more people than 10-round magazines because those folks are not well trained. People who are well trained say.
Okay, but I mean, the some of the deadliest mass shootings were done with handguns. So
with extended magazines.
Well, a kid at Virginia Tech just had a regular gun, not extended magazine.
He had multiple guns.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Well,
so with mass shootings, like again, you have a person who has decided, like it's not the magazine, it's not the gun, it's the person is the problem, right? Like, so you could say, well, now he's only got access to a 10-round magazine. Okay. Well, but if he's got access to multiple guns, right? Or he gets access to multiple guns, whether it happens legally, and it probably won't, it'll happen illegally. What are you doing?
Well, this is a whole different discussion, which I'm happy to have if you want.
I think that your argument of limiting magazines is you're placating. You're not saying it because you actually believe that it's truly effective or that it matters. You're just saying it because, well, it kind of is.
I'm saying it's a.
It's a compromise.
It's a restriction. Yeah, it's a compromise. It's a compromise. Accept.
Right.
Yes. Okay. And you disagree.
I disagree. Fuck
okay.
It.
Fine. All right.
I just don't think that there should be any compromises on that particular. All
right.
Because at the end of the day, right? Like that's a slippery slope that you don't want to go down, right? Because you start to chop that away, you start to chop it away, and that's fine, but.
Unfortunately, I have to agree with you there because I used to always argue that when people said that it was bullshit. And then the SAFE Act got implemented in New York. And I'm like, the SAFE Act in New York did exactly what I said would never fucking happen.
Right.
And that's why I hate Andrew Cuomo. I think Andrew Cuomo was handled COVID pretty well.
Right.
But I still hate that guy because he fucking did that stupid shit that made no sense.
And listen, you've got people like, you've got Biden, you've got Harris, and you've got, you know, Biden saying that he wants to bring in Beto O'Rourke as his gun guy. And Beto O'Rourke doesn't know shit about,
Beto O'Rourke's a moron.
Beto O'Rourke is a moron. I've been saying it since before.
Well, I said it until he lost to Ted Cruz. After he lost to Ted Cruz, I'm like, after listening to this douchebag speak, how the fuck did this guy even get in the conversation?
Exactly.
The answer is he was running against Ted Cruz, who is Fat Dracula.
Right. I mean, he's a decent looking guy, I guess, who, you know, he's got a little bit of charisma and whatever. But I mean, he's
two
a
languages,
tool.
But he's a dope.
Right. I mean, he's an absolute dope, and that's what Biden is talking about being his gun guy.
If that happens, I will ceremoniously on the show bang my head against that wall. You will put a mic up against the wall, and you will listen to me bang my head.
I will record it. Periscope, YouTube, the whole
nine. I know you will. And fine, if that happens. To me, that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. I will get videotaped and recorded, smashing my head into plaster because Beto O'Rourke is a fucking moron.
If Beto O'Rourke ends up being anything in Biden's administration that has any control over guns, then all my guns have been lost in a boating accident.
I was going to say, if you say Beto O'Rourke is involved in anything in a Biden administration, I have to bang my head against the wall. No. If he gets in charge of Parks and Recreation, no Jim banging his head. Anything involving gun control, head banging. Can we give you three bangs? Is three sufficient? Dunk, dunk, dunk. Is that good enough?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You don't get to use a stud finder either.
You're a dick. You are such a dick. Although that's a really funny thought. And I don't know what I want more. I don't know if I want to fix a plaster on my wall or get concussed. All right, man.
All right, let's shut it down.
We should shut it down. Good talking to you. Yeah. Go do your thing. We will talk again soon. Thank you for listening. We're at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and Twitter.
Come and find us.
We are out.